Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Iruvin Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 9 lines from the top of Daf Chof Dalet. As you can see, we continue using a special marking on the side of our Gemara under the Nosei heading, indicating the series of topics that we will be encountering all have to do with a karpif more than base sosayim. So our Nosei heading here reads, Nota rubo shel karpif yoiser mi base sosayim shehukof ledira. There was an enclosed area of more than two saw, which generally speaking is not acceptable on Shabbos. In other words, you can't carry in an enclosed area of more than two saw that was not designed for dwelling. In this case, there was a karpif of more than two saw designed for dwelling, but he then planted the majority of it. Haim boi shihei notua itzdeblois shuros shuros. Is it necessary for the planting of these trees in order not to ruin the status of it being hukaf ladira to have these trees planted in rows, kedei shelo yizbatel shem dira shelo, so as not to void the dira status? Dira is the dwelling status that it has. So just to review what we've learned in the past, a karpif, an enclosed area on Shabbos, if it is not more than two saw, 5,000 square amos, then it, even if it wasn't enclosed for dwelling purposes, it's still allowed. One can carry within it. However, if it's an area of more than two saw that's enclosed, if it was designed for, if it was the area that was being enclosed was designed for dwelling, which we call hukaf ledira, then things are fine. However, if that enclosed area, and we have discussed this in our previous year, was an area of more than two saw, was enclosed, but he then did something to alter the status, like planting vegetables over the majority of that enclosed area, that will ruin the status of it being hukaf ledira. So now we turn to our Gemara. Nota rubo harehu kechotzer umutar. If the majority of this area of more than a base sosayim was planted with trees, it is a has a status of a courtyard and is mutar. Omar of Yehuda, Omar avimi, v'hu she'asuyin itzdablois. You can take advantage of illustration 70 in the Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations that we've been using since the beginning of the Masechta, and you can see what an example of itzdablos is. These are trees that are planted in rows, and Rashi adds that it's pleasant to sit there between the trees. Hence, it still has a dira status, a dwelling status, as opposed to, let's say, something planted as a garden that would ruin it. A garden in the sense of a vegetable patch. Rav Nachman Omar, afal pi she'ein asuyin itzdablos, even if the trees were not planted in rows, still the planting of the trees does not ruin the dira status. Mor Yehuda, iklo lebe Rav Huna bar Yehuda. So Mor Yehuda visits Rav Huna. Chazinu lano delo avid itzdablos. He saw that trees were planted in a karpif, more than a base sosayim, and they were not planted in rows, v'kometatali v'gavayu, and they were nevertheless carrying in that enclosed area. Omale lo sovar lo mor lo ha de avimi, do you not hold from Avimi, who was restrictive, who said that, well, if you are planting the majority of the area with trees and they're not planted in rows, then you cannot carry there anymore, because the fact that they're planted helter-skelter ruins the hukuf ledira status. Amarle, so Rav Huna answered, Ano k'Rav Nachman svira li, I hold like Rav Nachman. And you'll notice we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above where these shitos appeared. So holding like Rav Nachman, we learn that even if they weren't planted in rows in an itzablos fashion, it still does not ruin the hukuf ledira status. We continue by glancing at the side under our nosei, our topic heading, Karpuf Yoiser Mibeis Sosayim Shalo Hukuf Ledira, a karpuf that was more than two sa'a, that was not enclosed for dwelling purposes. Ketzad Oisim Sheh Ekif Ledira. What can one do to make it such that one should be allowed to carry there? In other words, how does one make it Hukuf Ledira? The word hukuf, we should not assume that everyone knows that. Hukuf is something surrounded, an area surrounded by a fence. And as you can see, we're focusing on the reason the area was enclosed. Was it enclosed for dwelling purposes or not? In this case, we're talking about the area was initially enclosed for purposes other than dwelling purposes. And since it's more than a base sosayim, under those circumstances one cannot carry within such an area. What can one do to make it mutar to carry, to make it allowed to carry? So now the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Shmuel, Karpuf Yoiser mi base sosayim, Shaloi Hukuf Ladiro, Ketzad Hu Osa, a Karpuf area that was more than two saw, that was not enclosed for dwelling purposes. And afterwards, after the fence was already up, he then built some type of dwelling in the middle. What can he do to make it such that it is considered hukuf ledira? We didn't emphasize in up till now, but now is the time. The order of events is very prominent in this halacha, meaning that when we speak about something hukuf ledira, as the name implies, that first there was the domicile, there's a dwelling was there, and then a fence was placed around it, that is hukuf ledira. However, if the other way around, that the fence was put up first and then a dwelling was built in the middle, that doesn't make it hukuf ledira. So what should he do? The Gemara answers, Poreitz bo pirtza yoiser me'eser v'godro. Illustration 71 will show what we are describing. A breach shall be made in the fence more than 10 amos. Once you have a breach more than 10 amos, it's as if it is not surrounded, even though the fence physically may be many, many more amos of size around the area, but once you have a breach more than 10, it's legally speaking as if the fence is not there. So after making the breach of more than 10 amos, the godru mamido al eser umutar, then rebuild the breach till the point that only 10 amos and not more remains open. When you have an opening of 10 or less amos, that's considered a pesach, that's considered an entranceway. And that doesn't that's allowed. Hence, what have you in effect done by creating a breach of more than 10 amos? So you made it such as if no fence is there, and by closing the gap up so that it is no more than 10 amos, that's like building it up. At this point in time, the dwelling is already there, so it's as if it's called, that's as if it's hukuf ledira. Ibayalo. Now, a technical question within that which we just learned. We have someone that needs to create an opening of more than 10 amos and then reclose it to the point that it's not open more than 10 amos anymore. So what does he do here? Poratz amo v'godar amo. Poratz amo v'godar v'godra ad shishlimu liyoser me'eser mahu. Here, as you can see in diagram 72, he is not creating at one time a breach of, let's say, 11 amos, which is, of course, more than 10 amos, which is a true breach. But he is knocking down one amo and rebuilding it, knocking down and rebuilding it, so that at the end of the day, so to speak, he has knocked down more than 10 amos of the fence. He's knocked down 11 amos or more of the fence, and he is then rebuilding that which he knocked down. So is that considered the solution that we just described? Omar Lay, so the response follows, and it's a long answer. So you'll notice by the long answer marking how many rows this covers. Omar Lay, Lav, Hainu, Disnan, is this not that which we learned? And now we're going to revert to a different topic. It would seem to be unrelated, but there is a principle that will be common to the topic we're about to learn and the question at hand. So there is a Tanaic source, and this is a topic that we've learned in the past. Even in this Masechta, this was quoted, and we've seen it already in Masechas Brochas, Masechas Shabbos. The other Masechtas are cited on the side where this quote comes from. So there is a Mishnah that says, Kol kli bali batim shi'uron kerimoinim. Vessels that have been tome, for example, can lose the tumah. They can experience purification by developing a hole in them. And this source says, kol kli bali batim. These are vessels that are not up for sale, but they're personally owned vessels. And we're talking about wooden vessels. Shi'uron kerimoinim. If the wooden vessel happened to be tomei, and it develops a hole the size through which a pomegranate could fall, they become tohor. Uboi Chizkiah, and Chizkiah asks regarding this din, this halacha, what about, and this is featured in illustration 73, Nikev Kemoitzi Zayas, Vesosmoi, Vechozer Venikev Kemoitzi Zayas, Vesosmo, a person made a hole in the vessel, but a small hole, a hole through which an olive could fall, an olive being smaller than a rimo, than a pomegranate. So he made a small hole in the vessel and then sealed up the small hole. And then next to that, he made, again, a small hole the size of Isaias and sealed it up. Ad shishlimo lemotzi rimoin mahu. And Chizkiah's question was, what would the din be if you were to add up all of the holes and that and their sealing together, they would come out to a motzi rimon, noting that he never made a motzi rimon hole in one shot. He made a lot of little holes and patched them up, but all together they would equal a motzi rimon. So that was Chizkiah's question. The Omar Lei Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan responded. Rabbi Yochanan was a student of Chizkiah, and he said, Rebbe, Shoni Solonu, you taught us the following. And here is another Tanaic source, also dealing with vessels, in this case specifically a shoe, and there's a wonderful illustration, 74. We're talking about a sandal, a type of sandal shoe that has two rings on either side of it, through which the straps that help fasten the shoe to the foot are inserted. Now, the source says, Sandal shin nifsiko achas me oznov v'tikna, a sandal, one of whose rings broke or tore, and he fixed it, tome medris. No, it is tome as a medris. A medris is a certain status of tumah that, if one hasn't heard this from us before, this is the time to go over it. Certain types of people have emissions from their bodies, and they bring upon them a status of tumah. That particular tumah is such that a person who is, let us say, for example, is a man that experienced a zav emission, or a woman who experienced a menstrual flow, and she then goes, sits on a chair, or she wears a shoe, anything that is designed for them to support their weight on, and a person wears his shoes, so his weight is upon it, that becomes something called a medris. And as such, It is a special category of tumah, and the measures can be metama, can communicate tumah to other people as well, which is very unusual in the general scale of tumah, where something becomes a has contact, let's say, not through sitting but through simple contact with a zav, so it would become a rishon tumah, and then it would not communicate tumah to other people. But something that's designed for leaning on, and the zav or the any one of the different types of medrus tumas affected it, that in this case we'll talk about the shoe becomes a medrus. Now let's go over the case. We had a shoe, perfectly good shoe, that was affected by, that was worn by, let us say, a zav, and then one of the rings, the oznov, tore, and he repaired it. So the fact that it experienced tearing didn't change the status of the shoe from its medrash status. In the meantime, he also repaired the torn ring. Nifsik oshniya v'tikna, the second ring now tore after. This is a story in, we'll call it, in progression. So then the second ring tore and he fixed it. At that point that the second ring tore, even though he fixed it, but tohor min ha-medris, it loses its medris status, avotome mago medris. It becomes something that touched that which was a medris. So it's a lower form of tumah. Now, what medris did it touch? It touched itself. In other words, before the second ring tore, the shoe itself was a medris. At the point that the second ring broke, so it's as if it touched itself. So it's like something that touches a medris. So its tumah level is such that it could affect food, but it cannot affect other vessels and not affect people. The Amris Allah. Now, Rabbi Yochanan continues talking here, and he says, and you, he's talking to Chizkiah, and you said, regarding this case with the shoe, Maishno Rishona, the Okaimo Shnia, what's unique about when the first one tore, the first ring tore, it was still Tomei Medrash because the second ring was there, and that would be sufficient for holding the shoe in place. You could still attach a strap there and hold the shoe on one's foot, so it's still functional as a shoe, and therefore its medrash status remains. Shnia nami, when the second ring broke, hakaimo rishona, the first ring had already been repaired, so there was still one ring there. So, and yet we saw that when the second ring broke, it lost its medrash status. The Amris lon Allah, and you, Chizkiah, told us, the reason for it is ponim chadoshos ba'ulakan. When the second ring tore, the fact that the first ring was intact, that is true, but that's only because it's intact as a new entity. So when the second ring tore and it was repaired, this is now almost what we call a new shoe vis-a-vis the old medrash that had been there. It's true it had once been medrus, but at the point that both rings are not the way they were when it originally absorbed the medrus tumah, so that's why it is not considered tome medrus anymore. And that's reflected by the phrase ponim chadoshes bolakan. It's like a new, literally a new face has shown up. Rashi in the lower part of the page in the wide lines in the middle there, he says, "Ponim chadoshus ein oznaim halalu mimenu." These rings are not from the original shoe that had been a medris tuma. Umisha niskenu lo darsan azav. And from the point that these rings were repaired, no zav wore the shoe, put his weight on it. Darsan is to literally trample it, or put in this case, put his weight on it. Umituma rishona tiaru, from the original tuma, this shoe has experienced purification. Shere ein ze sandal rishon. What we have now as the sandal is not what it was originally. We turn back to the Gemara. After having pointed out that the shoe with its new rings is not what it originally was. Hachanami, so too with regard to the Chizkiyos question and the small olive-sized holes that were made and sealed up and added up to a motzi rimon. So too, Hachanami, once the little holes add up to the size of a large rimon, the larger sized entity, the rimon, well, ponim chadoshes bo l'kan. It's true that the holes were sealed along the way, but at this point, the holes add up to a rimon, and the fact that the vessel is still intact, it's almost like a new vessel, so that the tumah that originally affected the vessel when it had only when it was complete, and even after you made the first one or two olive size holes, at this point it's like a new vessel. So what Rabbi Yochanan did in this discussion is he used information taught to him by Chizkiyah to answer Chizkiyah's own question. This impressed Chizkiyah very much, and Kori Ole Les Dein Bar Inish. Chizkiyah reacted, this man, referring to Rabbi Yochanan, is not a man, he's an angel. Iko Diamri, another version of what Chizkiyah said, Kigon Dein Bar Nosh. This is a real man, this is a great man. Before we go on further in the Gemara, we glance at the side under the No Say heading. Rechava Shachore Habatim Yosemi Beis Hasayim. A rechava is a type of open area in back of houses in which people don't dwell. It's not like a chotzer. A chotzer is a courtyard in front of houses onto which the houses open. The rechava, though, the rachba, is an area behind houses that the houses don't open onto that area. So if you have a rachba, it's in back of houses, yoyser mi beis osayim, that measures an area more than two saw, eich hoifchin oiso lemokom aroy letalte, how can you convert it into a place, into an area that in which you can carry? So we turn back to the Gemara. Omer of Kana, Rachbo Shachore Habatim, a Rachbo yard that's in back of houses, Ein Metatlin Boilo Betalin Amos. You can't carry any more than four Amos, very limited area in which one could carry. The Omer of Nachmon, Im Posach Lo Pesach, Mutur Letatel Bekulo. Pesach Matiro. If you opened a passageway from the house, from one of the houses to the rachba, so then it will be allowed to carry in there. Now, we should point out that we're looking at pictures or illustrations 81 and 82. So if you open the door, then he says, Rav Nachman says, it will be mutter to carry there, because the door is matirit, velo amoran elo sheposach lubesof ukaf. This heter is true only if he first opened the door and then built the fence. Avol ukaf lubesof posach lo. But if first he built a fence, creating a rachbo area, and only afterwards broke open a door, then it would not be acceptable. The Gemara asks, Posach ulebesof hukof, if he created a doorway and then surrounded the area, pshita, that's obvious that it's mutter. So what do I need Rav Nachman to tell me his halacha for? Lo tzricho, the significance of Rav Nachman's teaching is the is bei bei dori, in we can look at illustration 83, that area in back of the house happens to also be a bei dori, a goren, a place that people thresh their grains. And a bei dori is not considered a mokom dira. It's not considered a dwelling. So mahu detema adaita de beidari avde. I would have thought that maybe his action was done with the beidori in mind. Rashi says, "Mahu detema adaita de beidori pasli," at the very bottom of the page, that he created the doorway just for the purpose of getting to the granary. And Rashi adds, "Valav adaito lahakif shom rachbo," without any intention of having the area subsequently enclosed, so that the opening of the doorway, being just for the granary, wouldn't be sufficient to matir, to allow the area once it is then enclosed. So Komash Malon, Rav Nachman thereby tells us this halacha that if he opens a doorway, even if there happens to be a granary in back of the house, the fact that he did it in this order, opened the doorway and then enclosed the area, you can call that hukaf ledira. We continue in the Gemara with a new topic, and on the side, under the no say heading, we have written karpif yosemi beis osayim shuhukaf ledira. Was an enclosed area with dwelling intentions, but the air was more than two saw, and that so far is okay. However, v'nismal l'mayim, and then it filled up with water. And we have illustration 84 helps to picture what we are discussing. Karpif yoisumi beis osayim shuhukaf ledira v'nismal l'mayim, and after it was fenced up with the domicile in place, then the area got filled with water. Sovu Rabbonan Lemeimar. Now, you'll notice we have an Aleph, so this is a first approach, and then there's a response, which we note as Beis at the bottom line. So the first approach is what the Rabbonan thought. They thought to say that Sovu Rabbonan Lemeimar Kizroyim Domu, that the water is treated like seeds, like the planting of seeds, the osir. And if you plant a karpif that's more than a base of simon, you plant it with vegetables, it ruins its hukaf ledira status and it becomes osir. Omar luhu Rav Abba Avua, when we have a girsa here, or Achva, or Avua, Derav, Brei, Derav, Misharshia. So, Rav Abba says, Hochi Amrina Mishmei Derava, thusly, it's reported in the name of Rava, Mayim Kinetoyim Domu Vishari. The water doesn't have the status of Zroyim, but rather it has the status of Netoyim, of saplings, of trees that are planted. And we saw in today's earlier Gemara that trees that are planted don't necessarily ruin the hukaf ledira status. So that the fact that it was originally a place that was hukaf ledira, the water showing up there, inundating the area, does not ruin the hukaf ledira status. Because we're viewing the water as nitoyim, as trees, as opposed to vegetables. The Gemara continues in this topic at the top of Amud Beis. You'll notice we have a double underline that appears in the Mivneh key on the side. Notes, Deos hamit yachsois l'mayim shemile asakarpif. We have opinions on Meimar and Ravashi, who will be focusing on the issue of the water that inundated the karpif. Omar ha-Meimar v'hu t'chazion l'tashmishta. The water will have the netiyah status and be considered still hukaf ledira, provided the water is fit for drinking. Avolo chazin letashmishta, if it's not fit for drinking, loy, then the water will ruin the hukaf ledira status. Omar Ravashi, udechazion letashmishta nami lo amoron, even that which we say that if it's fit for drinking, it's mutter, the area is mutter, that's true, but it's limited. Elo she'en ba'oimkoi yoyser mibeis sosayim. Provided that the area of the water that has depth to it doesn't cover an area of more than 2 sa'ah. Aval yesh ba'omko yoser mibeis sosayim oser. But if the deep water covers an area of more than 2 sa'ah, then it's oser. The Rashi points out that the depth we're talking about is 10 tefachim. So if we look in Rashi at the top, the end of the line, she'ein ba'omko yoser albeis sosayim, klomar she'ein omko shelmayim nifshat baruchav yoser al beis sosayim, that the area of the deep waters, and deep of course is relative to what we're about to see, the area covered by the deep waters is not more than 2 sa'ah. When we speak about water as changing the status of a previously flat piece of land, the depth would have to be 10 tefachim, 10 handbreadths. So we're talking here about an area of water that's in this karpath that's more than 10 handbreadths in depth. If it covers an area more than 2 sa'ah, it makes the entire area that's enclosed usur. Falav Milsahi. And the Gemara rejects this last point, the point of Rav Ashi, and by saying it's not so. Midi dahave akarya depiri. We could look at illustration 87. It's an area that has a pile of fruits. A carpath has a pile of fruits in it, even though the pile of fruits is very extensive in its size. It covers a large area. It nevertheless does not ruin the dira status. So to the water, even if it's deep, it will not ruin the karpath status. The karpath, when we say karpath, of course we mean karpath that's hukaf ledira status, and it will be mutter to carry there. As we go on in the Gemara, we have illustration 91 that will attract our attention. 91 is a features something that's rather elaborate, and we have a topic heading on the side introducing this under our no say heading. Tikun hahi rachbo yosef yisayim dehave bepum naro. We are going to deal with how to make a tikun on the rachbo that's more than 2 sa'ah. In a place called Pum Naro, Tzad Echod Hoya Shvil Shel Kromim, one side of the Rachba is there's a pathway that farmers use to tend to the Kromim, to the vines. Tzad Sheni Movui Mufulush Lurishus Ram. The other side of the Rachba has a through alleyway that leads to a public thoroughfare. And by looking at the picture, you can see these points. So the Gemara continues, Hahi Rachbo Davi Bepum Naro, there was this Rachbo in the town called Pum Naro, the Chad Gisa, one side of the Rachbo, Have Posiach Lamasa, open to the word Masa in other places, a reference to the city. Here it's a reference to an alley in the city that opens into this particular rachba. So the rachba opens to this alleyway. V'chad gisa have posiach l'shvil shokrom, and the other side opens to a shvil, as a path leading into a vineyard. Or that's literally that's psiach l'shvil shokrom, and opens the rachba opens to a path of a vineyard. U'shvil shokromim have a solik leguda de nahara, and if you continue on this vineyard path, you end up at a river wall, and that's the guda de nahara is also in the street in the picture. It's called the river bank, and that river bank has a depth, has a height to it of 10 tefachim, as you can see illustrated. So we've, in the last couple lines, we've created the model. Omar Abaye, Heichi Navid, what can we do to make this rachba considered hukaf ledira? As we mentioned, and we wrote between the lines, this rachba was more than a base sosayim. What can we do here? And you can see we have double underlines, and on the under our mivne heading, we've noted these are hatsaot, v'deot, eich lisakein hanal. Just a couple suggestions, and finally opinions, in how to make a tikkun that one should be allowed to carry here. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us take a look at the Rashi. On the toward the end of the narrow lines, Hechi Navid Lahatir es kulam shehoyu roitze me'afshel l'shtamesh bohem b'nei ha'ir. We want to make these areas allowed for carrying. V'liyosu mukefes l'dira, and create a situation that we can label it as mukaf l'dira. This term we've been using all along today's shiur, enclosed as an area of dwelling. V'shuv lo teve karmelis. And it should then no longer have a karmelis status. And when something has a karmelis status, it's one's carrying is limited to within four amos. Utehi bekulon muteris. And as a result of whatever tikkun we're going to come up with, it'll then be muter to carry in these areas. And we pointed out earlier that if something is first surrounded and then one opened a door from a house into the enclosed area, that doesn't help. Rachba was surrounded by a stone wall, and you can see that in the picture. And the kosher lahem lifrotz pirsiyosu me'asur legodro ledira adaita shamshibo b'nei mavui. And the suggestion we saw earlier of opening a passageway of more or a breach of more than 10 amos and then rebuilding it with the intent that the people in the mavui will use the rachba area, that's too much trouble. Let's read that again. We stopped a little too early there. That's the line before in the Rashi. V'koshelam lifrotz pirsa yoyser me'asu legodro ledira adait l'shtamshibo b'nei movui ushvio mehashto v'leve keposach ulebesov hukav kidishmuel. As we said, that is difficult to do. So what alternative solution do we have? Alternative to the idea or the suggestion of making a large breach in the rachba wall, the breach and then rebuilding it. So that we're not going to suggest. Let's see the Gemara. So we go to our double underlines. These are the suggestions. We also will look at illustration 92. Levid lay mechitza aguda denahara. Maybe he should build a wall on the river bank, as is illustrated. And Rashi, he explains more of the rationale here. The suggestion here was to set up a fence made of reeds, aguda denahara klomar, leve shvil ke moisif al harachba. We would imagine the shvil, the path through the vineyard, as an extension of the rachbo, deneve rachbo shvil chad, and this way we could view the rachbo and the shvil as one entity. Deneve hach mechitzo d'avdinon bashvil, and then the wall we're building at the end of the shvil adaito de dira to the shtamshu, and would then be made with the intention that the people would use the rachbo. May hashto l'shtamshu may hashto b'nei shvil b'rachbo ki ilu avdinon lo b'rachbo gufo l'diro davi posach ulubesof hukaf. With my building this wall on the river bank, it would then be as if I had created the, we'll call it the mindset that people would be using it. That's like opening the door from the houses that we had before. That's the analogy, Pesach. And then Ulu Besof Hukov, and now I'm building a fence. So, can this work? In other words, the decision for the Rachba to be an area that people will carry in, and now I go ahead and build a fence at the end of the pathway, could that be considered like what we had before of Pesach Ulu Besof Hukov, opening a door and then from a house to the yard outside and then enclosing it, which is the way to proceed? The Gemara says no, this won't work. Ein oisin mechitza al gabi mechitza. Since the riverbank itself had its own depth or height of 10 tefachim, any additional building on that wouldn't be recognized as a new mechitza, as a new enclosure, a new wall, and therefore it won't be effective. So the only effective thing to do right now then would be to bash a breach of more than 10 amos and then rebuild it. Well, what about the following suggestion? And this is illustrated in 93. The Levid lay tsuras ha-pesach apuma d'shvil shel kromim. Why not set up a tsuras ha-pesach, as you can see illustrated? That's two uprights and a crossbar, a type of doorway that you build at the entrance to the shvil, and the legal logic here is that since the Tzuras HaPesach will help, that the Shvil is not considered as if it's porutz, opening clear into the Rachba, because now I've built a doorway over it. Otherwise, the Shvil is opening to the Rachba, and the Rachba being a place that's usher to carry in, so that would make the shvil problematic. But now that I build this Tzuras HaPesach, I'm alleviating that problem. And so the logic says, since the Tzuras HaPesach alleviates the problem of the shvil, the path being porutz l'rachba, let it also be effective for the rachba to make it a new enclosure, and it's now considered hukaf ladira. We look at the Rashi, and he explains, Levid le tzuras apesach apuma de shvil shakromim de posuach l'rachba. Make the tzuras apesach at the entrance of the path, the shvil shakromim, into the rachba. De migu de mahani l'shvil shaloyhe porotz l'rachba. Since the Tzuras HaPesach would be effective to the Shvil, which porotz is something that opens into the Rachba, Shafilu Hoya Posuhu Shusarabim Moilo, had this path open to a public thoroughfare, this Tzuras HaPesach would have been effective in allowing you to carry on the Shvil. Leni Nami, let it be effective also the Rachba Lyoslo Toisefis Ze Hekif Ladira. Let this thing that I'm building, this addition that I'm building now, the Tzuras HaPesach, be considered an enclosure for Dira purposes. The Gemara says, no, this isn't going to be effective either. Osu Gamli Shadion Lei. Camels that are in the Rachba will walk by, rub into this Tzuras HaPesach, Shadion Lei, and cast it down. Being that it has, the Tzuras HaPesach will have no longevity, so it has no significance. Elo Omar Abaye. You'll notice diagram 94. And we have a diamond that features, we highlight Abaye and later Rava. They are going to issue their suggestions in how to really solve this problem. So Abaye says, Levid Lefi, Apischo Deshvil Shokromim, don't put at Suras HaPesach, as we said, that is easily knocked down because it's a prominent construction. But rather put a very thin pole, which we call a lechi, an upright pole, at the entrance to the Shvil Shokromim, as you can see illustrated in 94. The Migu Demani Lishvil Shokromim, since it's effective for the path, that it's that you can now carry in the path, and it's not called Porus L'Rachbo, Mahani Nami L'Rachbo, it will have benefit for the Rachbo also to make it Hukof L'Dira. Omar Le Rava. Rava objects. He says, if we will follow your solution, Yomru, people will think Lefi Moyu L'Shvil Shel Kromim De'Almo. People will think that a lechi would help for a pathway that is open at both ends, not realizing that it's true in our case, the Shvil Shokromim ends at the river bank with its natural wall, but not everyone is going to realize that. So I don't want to rely on the lechi, because as we just said, it will create this misimpression. People will think that a lechi works for a pathway that's mefulash, that's open at two ends. Elo Omar Rava. So Rava tells us his suggestion. Avdinon, we shall make Avdinon le lechi le pischa de masa. And here we look at the illustration, and you see the lechi, as Rava has it in illustration 95, the lechi is made at the entrance of the Movui. The Pischa de Masa is a reference to the Movui. The Migu de Mahani le lechi le Masa, and we should have added, but we wrote between the lines, this lechi is put up in addition to a Tzuras HaPesach that is facing the Rishus Rabin, and that you can see illustrated. So in addition to the Tzuras HaPesach that is placed at the joining of the Movui to the public thoroughfare, you also put up the lechi at the point that the Movui touches or enters the Rachba. And the logic here is the Migu de Mahani le lechi lamaso, just like the lechi will help for the Movui to carry in the Movui, Mahani Nami L'Rachbo will also help to enable the Rachbo to be considered Hukaf L'Dira. Rashi, he explains toward the lower part of the page, about seven lines up from the bottom, the Migu de Mahani Lamasa Litalta Bamovui, Kinamir Parakamo, Sratya Mikan Ubiko Mikan. We learned in the first parak that where you have an alleyway that's open at two ends, one end a public thoroughfare and the other end a open field. Oise Tsuras Pesach Mikan, the Lechi Oikura Mikan, you make a Tsuras Pesach at one end, and the Lechi or crossbeam at the other. V'hocho nami, so to hear, levdu b'rosh ha-movui ha-pasuch l'shus ha-rab ha-tzurus ha-pesach. As we saw in the illustration, he's going to make a tzurus ha-pesach at the point that the movui enters the rishus ha-rabim. V'hai lechi l'tzad rach b'shori le'an, the lechi at the other end of the alleyway is matir the alleyway. And as we saw, the migu logic, migu means since. And since it's effective for the alleyway, it is also considered a fence or a hekif for the rachba, to make the rachba also a place in which you can carry. Hilkoch, tiltule b'masa gufoshari, therefore carrying in the alleyway itself is mutter, the lechi that you place there helps for that. And Rashi points out that the lechi um, Let's look at the Rashi actually at the bottom, three lines above, till two the master gufa shori, toho sharinom lo b'hai lechi. This lechi makes the alley mutter for carrying in. Vafilu hi vorachbo asurim ze im ze, shnehem mishtamshin la'atzmom kishtei chatzeros u'pesach b'nehem, v'chein barachbo gufa. So too, even if these two places were, you can't use one together with the other, but each one can be, one can carry in each one by themselves. So that's what the Gemara points out, that tiltuli b'masa gufa shari and tiltuli b'rachba gufa shari, carrying within the rachba itself is also allowed. Mimasa l'rachba m'rachba l'masa. What about, this is a third question, or third issue, carrying from the alley to the rachbo and from the rachbo to the alley. Well, regarding that, pligi bo rav achov ravino. Here we have a machlikas. Chad osar v'chad shori. And one forbids and one allows. We continue at the top of chof hei, man the shori, deha lekodirin. One who allows carrying from the alley to the rachbo, and vice versa, there are no dwellers in the rachba to create an isur, which otherwise would need a type of eruv chatzeres or shituf mavos to allow, but there are no dwellers there. Rashi at the top says, the less ba diurin in the rachba, shi asru al b'nei movui. There are no dwellers in the rachba to impose a restriction on the people living in the mavui. Hilkoch rishus b'nei mavui hu. The rachba, therefore, is considered the domain of the b'nei mavui. U'b'nei shvil lo asri alo. The people living in the shvil don't asr on the rachba. Dahave kechotzer k'tana shivitzo l'gdoyla. It's like a case of a narrow courtyard opening into a much larger courtyard. The large courtyard is mutter, and the small one is also. These are topics we've discussed earlier in the Masechta, so we won't elaborate on that. And as far as the shvil, the pathway is concerned, we don't make any innovations on that. Zero shemo yomru lechi moyo l'shvil d'amo. Because of the zero, the problem that Rava introduced earlier, people will think that a tikkun will help for a shvil in general that's open on two sides. The Gemara continues, Uman de'osar, the other opinion that we saw at the bottom of Chof Dalam Ebeis that says that you cannot carry from the Movui to the Rachba, Zimnin Dehavi Ba Diurin V'osi L'Tiltuli, we're afraid that sometimes there are dwellers in the Rachba, and if we allow in general, even when there are no dwellers there, we will end up allowing carrying from one to the other when there are people dwelling in the Rachba or living off the Rachba, and then they will aser on the Mavui. Of course, this is all in the absence, I'm assuming that this is in the absence of some type of Shituf Muvos being made, joining the two domains together. But in the absence of some other Eruv being made, then dwellers in the Rachba will impose restrictions because it's two different areas, and as we learn many times in this Masechta, that different private areas do aser one, do impose restrictions one on the other. So even though right now there are no dwellers there, but this Shita is anticipatory or worrisome that maybe there will be dwellers and they will aser, they will create this prohibition. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.